Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Good evening, Chris. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Winter is finally upon us in Philly. You know, we had some days in the 60s in 2020, which is crazy, but the early morning walks with the dog have been in the teens and single digits. So my brother visiting from Houston next week is probably going to be in for quite a surprise.
Yeah, bring the extra coat for sure.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, it's been unusually warm in South Texas. We really haven't had much of a winter, so I guess you're getting all of it up there.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to reflect a little bit before we get into our topic for today, which I think will be a fun topic and maybe a little different than we've done before. We are in episode 24. We started this late summer of 2019, the WFO Life podcast. And I wanted to reflect a little bit on where we're at as we get, you know, really close to our 25th episode. I wanted to say that so far, I feel like I've been having fun with this. It's really neat, the connections we've made with the people we've been interviewing. As I was looking over the list, I thought it was pretty hilarious. We have interviewed PhDs in athletics, elite athletes development. We've met and talked with doctors, Marines. We've talked to nutrition experts, five-time Olympians, CEOs of major organizations. We've talked to best-selling authors, and off-the-grid experts, simple life experts. And we even talked to one guy that died and came back from dead. So I think it's been an interesting run. And now, I know we got book reviews and we've got I know I've got a few tentative, interviews on the slate, and we've kind of started a little medical series here lately. We're talking health topics and stuff. What do you think about this at this point? What's been your take on how we've done so far?
Well, I think it's been fun in a way that embracing a tiny, sliver of the bandwidth that most of us tie up in our daily lives using our phones or using technology. We've been able to connect and, share some things that are important to us and we hope are important to other people just by, investing a little bit of time and, just really basic stuff. I mean, neither one of us are, web tech audiovisual experts, but we've fumbled through it, figured it out, and I think come up with a, pretty high quality product. And the guests that we've had on, have been incredible. I mean, some of it's been through word of mouth connections, personal connections, social media. So I think it's been pretty cool and really exceeded my expectations on what we set out to do when we were just honestly having a normal, every few weeks on and off again chat about, things that are important to us. So I think it's been fun and fulfilling, and it's been honestly just a cherry on top that we've had some other people, get some good out of it too. So,
yeah, I'm big on the idea of meta learning. I know we've talked, maybe we do a whole episode of meta learning at some point, but it's the idea of concentrated, distilled learning where you're taking knowledge from other people and you're shoving it through a tight window. I think that's what podcasting does. I think that's why it's so popular. I think so many people, I've got different podcasts I listen to nearly any time I'm coming and going, I'm listening to a podcast. And the other thing about doing your own podcast like we've been doing is that now I'm more interested in what everyone else is doing. I find myself constantly looking for, like, hey, that's really interesting what you're doing there. Can you teach me about that? Hey, how about we talk about that on the show?
Well, I was going to say, it's funny how accessible a media it is, but at the same time, it's so popular at the micro and macro level. I mean, this is maybe a little bit of a teaser, but I was in a setting where a guy who is, multiple time Super Bowl champion, his dad was a Hall of Famer, and he happened to sit at our table when we were at an event, a veterans event, and of all things that I thought to strike up a conversation with him was a podcast. And it connected because he had started a podcast, and you know, I told him, I was like, oh, I do a podcast, and you know, we started sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so hopefully in the near future, you know, he tentatively agreed to be on our podcast where, you know, obviously we've had that, you know, thousands of downloads, which sounds crazy at this point, you know, considering we've done it a lot of just, you know, grassroots and, you know, by the seat of our pants. But, yeah, I mean, and so it's funny how, a media like that, where it's very wide open, you know, just like the name of our podcast. And I think that's why we, you know, chose that is like that. That's the beauty of this media, is that you can, you know, have people on, you know, it's not a lot of investment, you know, a basic, you know, internet connection and some time. And, you know, you talk about things that are important to people and, you know, share those things. And so I think that that connects. And you think about the most popular ones on the planet, or actually, you know, you think about it, comedians and people that were, you know, college dropouts and, you know, all these different people have the most, you know, quote unquote popular podcasts on the planet that become big businesses. But a lot of it's just because, it's just, you know, it's just humans talking to humans about things that we all have in common. So I think that's been fun to just do it on our own, something that's kind of become, you know, viral, if you will. You know, everybody seems to have a podcast, but, you know, if you're passionate about it and, you know, connect with people, you know, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And I think that we have gotten to a place where we've found a little bit of a niche, in a sense that, you know, we kept our topics broad enough that we can, you know, we can include a lot of different, you know, kind of wide ranging ideas, and we can interview a lot of different people. The idea is just how can we make, you know, my thing with getting into is I just want to learn more, and I want to, you know, kind of distill as much information out of as many people as I can. I just love that idea. And I'm with you. I think it's been fun. What do you think's your, which, if you had to name an episode or two, would have been your favorite episode so far?
Well, I think in my mind, there's two different types that we've done. We've done interviews, and we've done topics that were either, you know, you led one or I led one, or it was wide open. So I think, in terms of interviews, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you listed out there, you know, Olympians, you know, best-selling authors, CEOs. I really like, I don't know if it's like a personal thing, but I think I like the interview with Amy Acuff, yep, just because it's somebody that, you know, it's not too often that, I mean, everybody's got somebody from their high school or a personal acquaintance that, you know, is like done something incredible, you know, whether it be, you know, fame or achievement. But for somebody that we knew personally and, you know, played basketball in her backyard. And really, I mean, you know, we're friends with her, but she was a little bit younger than us. But, you know, we're you and I are both, you know, closer friends with her older brother, right. You know. So, you know, I think Amy Acuff, you know, to go to the Olympics five times, and especially after having kids and thinking you were done, you know, it's really hard, and you know, she downplayed it. You know, she's typical in terms of people that are humble and high achievers, where I mean people who have kids and then get back to even any kind of base level of fitness is a win, right?
Yeah,
and especially when we have life things going on. But to have the discipline and the genetics and the, you know, fill in the blank, you know, whatever you want on to get to that point. But yeah, I think having her on, somebody that we had, you know, a personal connection with, but is just, you know, I mean, she's, you know, been in Sports Illustrated. You know, I think she was sponsored by Nike at one point,
right.
I think. And to just chat with her about, you know, life things and, you know, achievement and, you know, her journey, I think was incredible on the interview front. And then on the other, just, topics we came up with front, even though it wasn't necessarily one of our biggest downloaded episodes, I really liked the episode about, you know, I think we called it You Can Go Pro. But because I think that a lot of us that get to be of a certain age, especially, always have that woulda, coulda, shoulda moment.
Right.
And I think that when we reflected on that topic, I know I put a lot of thought into it. It's like, you know, a lot of people still have potential. You know, they still have those wide eyes they did when they were, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. And even though it might not be the same exact dream, you know, there's things that you can do to reinvent yourself and still be the best version of yourself. So I know I really connected with that. And I know, you know, some of the episodes we have, you know, early on, you know, continue to get, you know, trailing downloads. So I think topic wise, that one, you know, was important to me. And then the interview with Amy. So that's kind of my two cents. Yeah.
Yeah. Those actually very good. Both of those. I guess I had a couple that I thought really stuck out in my mind. The first one, and I actually listened to it again and shared it with a man I met at a retreat recently that's a head of a high school. He's a high school football coach.
Mm-hmm.
Was the interview with Sebastian Giraldo. Actually, he has the distinction of being our first interview.
Oh, that's right.
But the he was our guest that is a PhD in elite athletic development. That, if you listen to the back end of that conversation, that is such a high-end conversation, so much thought, so much detail into setting up environments for, you know, training athletes and building rapport and trust and getting the most out of athletes. That stuff was so good. And I listened to it again, as I've occasionally done, gone back and listened to an episode, and I realized how deep that one was. And a reminder that that one's one that has going to have a lot of legs on it, because it's one that it can be listened to over. It applies to different sports and, you know, people. And even if you're just trying to become elite at something, I think there was a lot of crossover, not just in sports. So that was really good. And, you know, the one I have to tell you, the ones I guess I'll lump them together. They are interviews, but, you know, I started this little health corner, you know, sessions that I've done with Dr. Guevara, Dr. Sullivan. Those have been pretty fun. And the reason they've been meaningful to me is I have developed, I know just the last couple that I've done with Dr. Sullivan, I have felt like it almost changed my mindset about certain things and how I treat patients. So you talk about a podcast being impactful. Here's a guy that, you know, I'm treating patients every day. I practice holistic medicine, and I sit down with these guys and I'm getting better ideas because we sat and chatted. I think that's a refinement, you know, that's sharpening the blade, so to speak, when you're in the room with a like-minded person, bouncing ideas off of each other about given topics, and then coming up with, you know, just, again, I've taken stuff away that changed how I practiced a little bit the weeks after I've done those. So I guess all that's why we do this. I mean, I think that's, I think those are just a few great examples of you know, what we've been able to accomplish so far. And maybe folks that are listening to this one, while we get into our topic, maybe you can think about the ones that you've liked and message us. Let us know, and let us know by leaving a, you know, some type of iTunes review on us. I don't know if we've even done any of those yet. Or on Stitcher. And then maybe leave us some kind of comment in the show notes on the website. That would help us know if we're on the right track, and or maybe even if there's something else you want to listen to.
Well, I just had the perfect idea for, and you know, I come back to South Texas usually once or twice a year, so I had the perfect idea for the combination of podcast and fun event, is that maybe when I'm down there next, we get me, you, Dr. Sullivan, Dr. Guevara, maybe some adult beverages and a like a soft surface and padded room.
Uh-huh.
And then we could mix, like, you know, conversation, podcasts, and maybe I can get some like pugil sticks and headgear, you know, and then we could do, like, you know, some, you know, physical, moral courage discussions while, you know, we have the mix of all of our various disciplines. So,
sounds,
you know, in my mind, that's like the perfect scenario, but maybe I don't know if I can talk the other doctors into it. I know you'd be into it, but
I think I would be into it, and I definitely want to be on Dr. Sullivan's team because I know him to be able to, he's a black belt, I think, in jiu-jitsu, so he may wrap us all in pretzels. So, yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be, anyway. But I digress.
Yeah. Well, tonight I know we had a little bit of a loose topic, but it came from reading an article that Tim Ferriss put out. Tim Ferriss is the of the fame of the Tim Ferriss Show and originally from the 4-Hour Workweek book. I know both of us follow a lot of his stuff, and he's got a great blog, and he has a ton of good books that he's put out. I follow his blog, and I think I sent you a copy of this one that he put out on January 20th. And I'll post this in the show notes, but I wanted to use this as a jumping off point for our discussion. The title of his article was Finding the One Decision That Removes 100 Decisions. And in parentheses, he says, or Why I'm Reading No New Books in 2020. Did you get a chance to take a look at that, Chris?
I did, yeah.
So he kind of throws this out by, he starts it by talking about a renowned mathematician named Donald Knuth, I think is how you pronounce his name. Mm-hmm. This is a really famous guy that won the Turing Award, which is kind of like the Nobel Prize of computer science. He actually, in 1990, put out a statement to the Stanford faculty that he was retiring from email. And he said, essentially, I have been a happy man ever since January 1st, 1990, when I no longer had an email address. I'd use email since 1975, and it seems to me that 15 years of email is plenty for one lifetime. Email is a wonderful thing for people whose role in life is to be on top of things, but not for me. My role is to be on the bottom of things. What I do takes long hours of studying and uninterruptible concentration. So Tim goes on to explain, you know, his thoughts on that. But the idea I thought intrigued me, and I see myself drifting through similar themes. The idea that maybe there's things and ways we can live our life and make decisions that are sort of refinement, that are sort of moving to a higher purpose or a more focused life. How did that strike you?
Well, to me, it reminded me of one of the first, like, most memorable lessons I learned in the Marine Corps, which was something called Commander's Intent. And I think it's one of the things that makes us, continually, or makes us one of the most effective organizations in the world, is that this idea of decentralized command, and the key tenet of that is commander's intent. And so mm-hmm. what that means is it's like the one or the small group of most important things. And so it's like if you think about the chaos of a battlefield, right? Mm-hmm. And so say if the commander's intent is we really need to destroy the enemy's ability to communicate, and because they have a centralized command, and so if we take out their ability to communicate, then the units that are separate from the command don't know what to do.
Right. Hey, Chris, I think you muted yourself.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yes.
I was moving my chair around and I got excited. So the idea is the commander's intent is like a higher level. Like these are the most important things, and you can apply that to your life and the things that Tim was talking about. You know, to declutter and to focus on the things that are most important. But the commander's intent is. Even though you have, clutter and things coming and going, you're always focused on, okay, what is the higher intent? So my current mission might be, hey, I'm going to attack and destroy this series of entrenched enemy. But then, one of your, lower level Marines or soldiers sees a series of a tent complex that has a high radio or cell phone tower like thing sticking out of the top of it, right? And so the idea is like, so you know, to your left you see these trench lines or these dug in enemy that you're, you know, going through all this melee and attacking, but then you have a clear line of sight to this thing that is serving the higher level intent, you know. So do you still focus on, hey, my specific mission that ties into the larger mission is to, you know, take out these seven guys, or, you know, we can take a small, we can keep them at bay, but, you know, take our most important assets and maybe go take out this communication node that serves the commander's intent. Yeah, and so I think that for me, when I saw that, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you have to separate the, I guess, important many from the critical few, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah. And so, because our lives, if we just backed up, I mean, that's one example that's like really sharp in the military. You have to have the overriding mission in place, the overriding theme. But then there's going to be all kinds of stuff that comes at you, the details, the change of plans that come. Do those change of plans, do we have to address those, or do we move past them because it doesn't really help us achieve the primary objective? I think life is that way. I mean, gosh, I think my whole day goes like that. You know, I start my day with an intent to, you know, I've got a series of things I've got to get done for the day, but then you're going to get hit with all kinds of different interruptions, setbacks, flat tires, you know, sick coworkers, all kinds of things that will come at you. But the overall mission is, like, say, in my office, my overall mission might be to serve my patients in a timely, comprehensive manner. That might be my mission. You know, let's provide high-quality medical care in a timely, comprehensive fashion. Well, some days that just doesn't go down that way because there are, you know, there may be things that come at us, decisions that we can make about, well, the drug rep is coming in. Should we spend some time talking to them? Or, you know, or is that going to take us away from the primary mission? No. Well, let's make a decision to say, sorry, can't see you today. Make an appointment. Come back. Bring lunch later on. Something like that. But we're not going to waste time while we're seeing patients because that's our primary objective. And there's so many examples of this. I mean, even down, I mean, do you have any, I know me, I do, but like in your personal life, you have primary objectives.
Yeah. I mean, I think as I get, I don't know if it's older, but just more different types of life experiences, I'm able to better compartmentalize and say, you know, and I think I probably learned, I think I learned that whole concept of separating the critical few from the important many on a continuous process improvement training that I got, honestly, from a civilian corporation. But that applies to a lot of things because you think about it, people get caught up in daily minutia that seems urgent and important, but it's not critical, right? It's not life and death. It's not, you know, you were talking about the mission of your clinic. Does that serve the mission of your patients? Does that, and it's like, hey, it could be, or another way to, I've seen in customer service settings, and you know, I think in the Marine Corps, I've seen it on, you know, our personnel administration people's desks that, you know, that control our pay and a lot of other things. It's like a, you know, a crisis on your end does not constitute one on my end, right? You know, it's the same thing. And so I think in our life, we get caught up in this hamster wheel of things when if you took a deep breath and separate yourself from it, you're like, okay, that is not really serving my overall goal and mission. And sometimes you have to say no, and sometimes you have to be short with people and be blunt because you know, like you gave the example of the, you know, the drug rep that, you know, is really trying to, you know, tell you about some important things, but it's like, hey, you know, I don't have time for you. You didn't make an appointment, and you know, I want to be deliberate about the things that are important in my life. And sometimes, you know, that could be family, which if you're a workaholic or if you're, you know, very driven in your career, sometimes that's hard because, you know, it could be I can take 30 minutes and, you know, be with my wife when she's helping, you know, get the kids ready for school, or I can, you know, be at work 30 minutes early when on a day when I don't have a meeting and there's nothing really pressing that I have to be there for, and I know I'm going to stay 30 minutes to an hour late anyway, so is it more important for me to, you know, just have her have the burden of the family and not spend any time with my kids, or take 30 minutes when I have the opportunity to do so to spend some time with my kids and help my wife, you know?
Yeah, and going back to the commander's intent kind of thing, I mean, that's sort of like, what are your priorities in life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, you know, I think this theme of busyness and, you know, all that comes up a lot in some of our discussions. And I think we all struggle with that. I mean, we're bombarded with information. We have so many options and decisions we could make about how we spend our time. And, you know, ideally, when you sit down with people and you say, hey, what's really important to you? You know, a lot of them will say, well, family, or, you know, things like that. But then if you look at how they spend their lives, you know, well, you know, they work 16 hours a day, they don't work out, they don't eat right, and they watch Netflix the rest of the time. I mean, that's what does that say? I mean, everybody's got their struggles, but what does that say about a person's priority? What does that say about the intent of how they spend their lives?
Well, and a lot of people don't take us, you know, 10 seconds to take a step back and think about that, because if you ask people, honestly, that are making a lot of the wrong decisions on how they spend their time, you would ask them, are your kids more important than spending time on social media?
Right.
And they'll be offended. But then some days I'm a victim of this because, you know, you get caught up in, there's news of the day, or which doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, and you're not spending time with your kids, or have your head buried in your phone or your computer for what, right? I mean, you know, getting caught up on either the news of the day or social media posts, you can waste time, you know, valuable time you'll never get back with your kids. But if you ask people, you know, what's more important, they'll always say their family or their kids. But you know, it's human nature. You get drawn into the things that are easy to draw your attention to, I guess. It's hard because we have challenges now. We have other challenges, or we have challenges that have been taken away from us because, you know, thankfully we have access to the basics of life. I mean, it's crazy because the poorest of Americans are still, you know, some of the richest 10%, or probably even less than that, of the entire planet, because, you know, you have access to food, shelter, clothing, and things that, you know, people and other parts of history and the planet would kill for, you know. I mean,
yeah,
so it's all about perspective, right? And, you know, there's so many things that draw our attention now away from things that we really at our core know are important. So,
you know, this Tim Ferriss post on the 100 decisions looking for the one decision that removes 100 decisions, it kind of reminds me of the idea of focusing on what matters and looking for ways to stay sharp and focused on those things. I was I was looking at my big kind of New Year's, but I do take time sometimes to pause and reflect. And on my list here, I said, you know, what are the priorities in my life? And I put them in the order of God, family, purpose, and passions. That's kind of how I, you know, kind of list things, because I'm a busy guy. I got a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to, you know, I needed to write down what those main categories were. Well, what was interesting is I realized that I believe in God, and I believe I need a spiritual life to be healthy. I've said lots of times people are mind, body, spirit, and if those are out of balance, one is often going to show signs of illness in some capacity. And one of the things I did and focused on recently to give, like, I guess a practical example, is what I call building margin. And every once in a while, we've got to pull away from the day-to-day so that we can understand what the big picture is and if we're even on the right path. And one thing I did recently is I went to a Christian men's retreat where you know, we basically got locked away in a dormitory with 20 other men. We were catered to by at least 40 other men, where they took care of our every need, and they walked us through a program where they helped us reflect on our relationship with God, where, you know, how we're living our lives. And they put our phones away. We didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have a stop. We didn't have a watch on of any kind. And they helped us connect in a very hands-on way with each other and with, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit, if you will. And the idea was to give us a break from the world long enough that we could get perspective on the rest of our lives, what else is going on in our life. And it helped me understand, when I did this just a week and a half ago, it helped me understand that I wasn't in the place. If you asked me, I would say God, family, purpose, passion, right? That's what I would say. But I realized it wasn't where I was. It wasn't. It's kind of like you said, the example of my kids are important, but you're looking at Facebook all day. You know what I mean? You spend, you know, 20 minutes with your kids and 3.5 hours on social media. You know what I mean? What is more important? It's the same issue. And so it was really nice to be able to do that. And it's something that I think Tim Ferriss might agree with, reading his article, is that, you know, deciding to pull back from activities, even if it's every Sunday afternoon, you pull back for a couple hours and say, hey, I'm just going to sit, listen, reflect on what it is I'm doing in my life. And am I doing and spending time doing what I think is, you know, I'm going to be remembered for when I'm dead and gone?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes a full retreat like you had to, I guess, recenter and reprioritize. But I think that the habits that we study from, whether it be the best people from a spiritual sense or achieving or, you know, the top of their respective walks of life, but I think just making time and the investment in thinking about the things that are important, even if it's for 5 minutes. And it's funny because all the top achievers or even, you know, science, medicine claims that some type of meditation is important. And I think that, me included, when you hear that, you're like, okay, am I going to spend a half an hour and wake up early to sit in a dark room and chant and listen to, you know, crazy Eastern, you know, jingle music? You know, that's like the ugly Americans version of that, right? But I've done enough study and talked to people that can look like a lot of different things to different people. And I know for me, what I do, and I probably barely take 5 minutes, but I know that in the smaller sense of what you did in a retreat, I know the days that are my best days are when I, you know, start with some type of spiritual reading. You know, I have a book, kind of like a, you know, Bible verse and a reflection on the Bible verse, and it's really short. And then I have like the, you know, a Stoic philosophy book that I read that's more, you know, not spiritual in the same types of ways, but it's practical knowledge, you know, from the ages. And then just, you know, write down a couple things I'm thankful for, you know, that this whole deal of like the gratitude journal. And, you know, we could probably do a whole another episode on that. I know Tim Ferriss and others have talked about that. But, you know, if you just, I think Admiral McRaven, who's like, you know, the president of University of Texas University System, I think now, that, you know, retired Navy SEAL, had a speech and a book and follow-on things about, you know, if you want to be successful, first start out with making your bed. Right. And I think it's the same type of concept, right? If you start out the day with something that's predictable, it gives you that little dose of positive hormones, like, hey, I, you know, whether it be working out, making your bed, you know, having a reflection, you know, doing a retreat. I think it's that mindfulness of making priorities of, you know, whether it be family, God, you know, things that set up, you know, your children and your, you know, businesses for success. It's hard to do. I mean, I think it becomes harder and harder with all the distractions in life, but it's what you have to do, you know, to center yourself and have that small number of important things really cast out the large number of unimportant things in our life.
I like the way you describe that, how you do the morning routine where you're carving out a little bit of margin every day. Mm-hmm. What I had gotten the habit of is doing that infrequently. And then, of course it took this one big retreat to sort of reset me, if you will.
Yeah.
That day to day is actually even better because it kind of allows you to start the day more calm, more focused, with a quick reflection on what's important moving forward. And I don't know, life's pretty cluttered and complicated. And I think it seems to me that life gets more complicated as time goes on. I think that's why this topic with Tim Ferriss resonated with me, because he's actually looking for ways, you know, for making decisions that can simplify your life. I know one thing I did, since he had mentioned all the email stuff, is I went through that day. You know how you get all, like, you sign up for stuff and then you start getting on this email campaign, you know, from like whatever you signed up for. I actually went through and I just kind of looked at, I bet I have 10 emails a day that come through that sort of fill up my inbox with things that are just something that's going to be a thought widget. It's going to take me, derail me or whatever. I actually went through, and of the 10 that I came across today, I unsubscribed from 8 of them. This has no value for me. It distracts me. And the likelihood of me pursuing this is very low, and it doesn't fulfill my mission of God, family, purpose, passions. And so I actually just, and I felt like that was something that was a little bit in the spirit of what Tim was talking about in this article we'll share in the post today, was that, you know, that's going to be something that's going to take away further decisions down the road. I made one small decision to get rid of those emails that are keep coming to me, because I'm not going to take action on any of them, and it's just taking up my resources down the road. And yeah. I think there's so many things we could do in life like that, just to say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to, you know, spend a little time, you know, centering. And if my focus is God, family, purpose, passions, then when I look at this, I ought to do something every day that helps reinforce my spiritual life. I ought to do something every day that's very highly centered on, did I make some kind of difference, connection, communication with my family? Did I accomplish my purpose in life? And for me, I'm a physician, I'm a healer, and I'm an educator. Well, yeah, check. You know, I did that today. Did I have a meaningful conversation with my spouse and my kids? Check. Did that. And then passions, that's the gravy. That's just the stuff that, what am I really excited about that I have fun doing? This happens to be one of them, by the way. I mean, we've managed to crush this out 24 times now in a row, always getting it done every Friday morning. And part of it is because I know for me, I'm interested in doing it. I'm interested in sharing these ideas because of the feedback and the way it amplifies my educational message to other people. And so for me, it's a passion. You know, so it was racing cars, so it was working out, so it was watching soccer and coaching soccer. I have got all kinds of stuff that I'm into, but those come a little further down the list, a little further down the priority list than you know, the as you said, the commander's intent. And it just takes time to focus on those.
Yeah, I think one of the other things we tossed around going into today's episode was something that we, you know, like to read. And one of the emails that is, you know, well received is something from, you know, the Stoic philosophy lane. And I think one of the things we tossed back and forth was email about this whole idea about, not making yourself a slave to outside approval. And I think that, what we've seen in research about social media is that people only post the things that are the best in their life, the right. filtered photos, the, you know, big vacations when, you know, they could have complete turmoil, they could have a bankruptcy, they could have, like, you know, a marriage breaking down, but they're not going to put, you know, that dirty laundry, you know, most of the time on Facebook. You know, you only see certain things. And so this whole idea of, outside control and seeking the approval of other people to get likes and that little dose of dopamine, it's powerful. And, whether it was by design or morphed that way, yeah, the people who designed these social media or games or, you know, what have you, think about that, because you know, we do, whether or not we are, you know, thick skinned or high achievers, you always want somebody to tell you you're doing a good job or be happy for the things that, you know, you're doing in your life. But it's a slippery slope because you don't want to be controlled by somebody else's standards. Right. And for so sure. I think the thing we shared, you know, talked about, you know, making your own standards high. And so you already have enough stuff to worry about, so you don't need other people's outside approval, right? Because you don't know what battles they're fighting, so the people that you want praise from, you know, are already, you know, kicking themselves in the butt and really don't have a lot of things going for them. And so the praise that you're seeking is not even very fulfilling. So going back to the commander's intent or the one thing more important than the 100 things, it's that about prioritizing things in our life and being clear on the things that we want to dedicate a good portion of our life to. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris, I like this topic. I hope that this spurred some thought for our listeners and helping them focus on what really matters and taking the big picture, taking stock of where they are in their lives. I really would like to, on this one, hear back from some of our listeners. You know, we don't tend to get a lot of comments. I don't know if that's, you know, why that is. Often I had an old radio friend of mine, Bob Jones, tell me that that's because everybody's just listening.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, this is one that I'd like a little feedback on. You know, what really matters to you, and how do you sort of focus in on what really matters the most, and how are you eliminating distractions from your life? I think it's important to share that. Share that on the Facebook link. Share that on the website. I think that would be a great thing to do. And you know what, Chris? You know, that last little bit you were doing on the Stoic philosophy, I think we got to do a whole show on that. I think that is something that I got. I mean, we're already like 40 minutes in on this one. I think that we should come back maybe in the next week or two and bring that back up, that Stoic philosophy, and how seeking approval from other people, what a fool's errand that is. So I guess let's end it here and sign off for the night, but be ready to come back for another Stoic topic in the next week.
Yeah, sounds great. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.